Welcome to another edition of SKNIS Week in Review, a weekly program that highlights some of the top stories of the work of the government of St. Kitts and Nevis. I am your presenter, Carissa Franks Benjamin. Coming up, Christina Disaster gave birth to improved standards for ferry and maritime safety in St. Kitts Nevis. St. Kitts Nevis government holds fruitful dialogue with CIC officials on COVID-19. And police encourages general public to obey COVID-19 regulations. Prime Minister of St. Kitts and Nevis, Dr. The Honorable Timothy Harris, said that the painful tragedy of the Christina disaster on August 1, 1970, gave birth to improved standards that have ensured such an incident has not been repeated. During the July 31st special sitting of the Nevis Island Assembly to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the MV Christina disaster, Prime Minister Harris quoted Susan L. Taylor, an American writer who once wrote, "In every crisis, there is a message. Crises are nature's way of forcing change so that something new and better can take its place."
While in some ways this disaster caused much bitter sorrow and exposed rifts between St. Kitts and Nevis, in many ways it also demonstrated the capacity of our people to work together to mitigate the immediate situation and to build a better future.
PM Harris said that the Christina disaster empowered persons by building character, confidence, and resilience, as well as developing coping mechanisms to deal with and address this horror that was beyond our individual and collective comprehension. He added that the Federation's strong faith in God and the people's strength and courage assisted in rebuilding lives and livelihoods, thus propelling St. Kitts and Nevis to a brighter and stronger future.
It must be noted that the Christina disaster led to significant changes and improvements in maritime safety regulations and protocols. Today we are the beneficiaries of such improvements. These include regular inspection of maritime vessels, limits on the number of passengers, provision of life jackets, and certified and experienced operators and crew.
He added, "Today, citizens, residents, and visitors can travel between our two islands confidently with the knowledge that safety measures are in place and are being adhered to, and that improvements are ongoing." In related news, as the Federation of St. Kitts and Nevis recently observed the 50th anniversary of the MV Christina disaster that claimed the lives of more than 200 persons, Prime Minister Dr. The Honorable Timothy Harris says it may be time to begin regulating access to the wreckage site by divers, given its history and significance to our heritage.
The site of the Christina disaster is an underwater heritage site, as it is the final resting place for the doomed boat, as well as for some of its passengers. Perhaps it is time that we consider implementing regulations that govern access by divers to that underwater wreckage site.
The Honorable Prime Minister reflected on an interview he conducted with the St. Kitts Nevis Observer newspaper some 23 years ago for an article that was published on February 1, 1997, titled "Sacrilege or History? Diving the Christina Wreck."
At the time, I was Minister of Agriculture and Fisheries. I said then that the area may be considered special and requires some policy. I also said that it would be important to gain some public consensus on the matter of whether diving should be allowed at the Christina wreck site. Perhaps the 50th anniversary is as propitious a time as any to put these ideas into action. Perhaps we can look at making it a protected or regulated wreck dive site where, for instance, divers would only be allowed to view the sunken boat from the outside, and they would have to avoid contact with the remains of the boat when taking photos and video.
With this in mind, Prime Minister Harris said legislation such as a Historic Wrecks Act would be required in order to preserve and safeguard St. Kitts and Nevis's underwater cultural heritage of momentous importance to the people of St. Kitts and Nevis. Prime Minister of St. Kitts and Nevis, Dr. The Honorable Timothy Harris, says his government welcomes continued dialogue with members of the private sector on matters pertaining to COVID-19 and the local economy, particularly as his administration has long adopted an all-of-society approach to addressing the global pandemic and its impact on the Federation. Prime Minister Harris made this remark during a meeting with government officials and the executive of the St. Kitts and Nevis Chamber of Industry and Commerce on Wednesday, August 5th, at the Ministry of Finance conference room.
COVID-19 is at heart, and still is, a health pandemic. Nothing has changed with regard to that. It started that way, and it remains that way, except that it has now morphed into another crisis of an economic nature. And so we are attempting really to meander the delicate pathways of a health crisis and a global economic crisis. We don't think we have all the answers. We don't even know that we have all the questions. And so we welcome these kinds of dialogue in a sincere effort at partnership and a constructive way for nation building.
Prime Minister Harris was supported in the meeting by his cabinet colleagues, Deputy Prime Minister, the Honorable Sean Richards, Minister of Tourism, the Honorable Lindsey Grant, and Attorney General, the Honorable Vincent Byron Jr. During the meeting, the government updated the chamber officials on what is happening at the ministerial and national emergency operations center levels as it relates to protecting citizens and residents from the deadly virus, as well as moving closer to the eventual reopening of the Federation's borders to international and regional visitors. The Honorable Prime Minister stated that his cabinet is on board for the opening up of the country, but insists that his government will arrive at that point in a carefully managed way, taking into consideration all necessary guidelines and protocols.
We want to open as soon as it's practically reasonable to do so. And what we have said is that we will want all the critical stakeholders to begin the process of reorganizing their approach to business, their plans, their business places, their human resource training, so that they can be ready for the opening up.
The St. Kitts and Nevis National Reparations Committee is galvanizing local support from stakeholders to seek justice for the many victims of crimes against humanity during the transatlantic slave trade. The committee, which was established in January 2020, falls in line with CARICOM's mandate for the region to establish such committees for reparatory justice for the region's indigenous and African descendant communities who are the victims of crimes against humanity in forms of genocide, slavery, the slave trade, and racial apartheid. Carla Astafan, chair of the committee, said the assistance of all is necessary for the committee to be successful.
The committee will need the support of the people. It will need very much the support of the government. This is not going to be some committee that is just named for naming's sake. This is called Working for You, the show. And so the government of St. Kitts is going to work for us by making sure to support this committee and the work that it has to do. Mm-hmm. We continued town hall meetings. We have on our gender programs within the schools. As I said, we want people to brainstorm. We want to bring the ideas to us as much as possible.
She said that the government continues to play its role in ensuring that the committee works to its fullest potential.
So the government has made one huge step in the formation of this committee. They've already shown support, and we want their continued support. You know, there's a lot of work to be done, and as I said, we can't do it alone. It has to be done with the help of the government.
St. Kitts and Nevis adopted the 10-point action plan for reparatory justice proposed by CARICOM. They include full formal apology, repatriation, Indigenous Peoples Development Program, cultural institutions, public health crisis, illiteracy eradication, African knowledge program, psychological rehabilitation, technology transfer, and debt cancellation. As there has been an increase in rainfall, there has been an upsurge in mosquitoes, says Chief Medical Officer Dr. Hazel Laws, noting that persons can help to decrease the mosquito population that spreads diseases such as dengue. Dr. Laws made this statement during her Health Emergency Operations Center situation report at the National Emergency Operations Center press briefing on August 5, 2020. She said that the nation is already facing the COVID-19 pandemic. It is important to prevent a dengue outbreak.
We need to be very aware of the need of us preventing dengue, because we are already in a pandemic, a COVID-19 pandemic. It's unprecedented, and we really do not want to add a dengue outbreak to that.
Dr. Laws said the season with the highest incidences of dengue has begun. She explained that dengue is caused by a virus that is spread through the bite of an infected Aedes aegypti mosquito. The chief medical officer further informed that the mosquitoes that usually spread dengue bite during the day and night. The mosquitoes spread other diseases, including chikungunya and Zika virus, she said. Dr. Laws stated that persons need to protect babies and children by making sure they are properly attired. She gave other advice about preventing mosquitoes around the home.
Your responsibility as parents is to protect them from the mosquito. We also have a responsibility to stop mosquitoes from laying eggs in and near water around and in our household setting. So we need to be wise and be diligent in removing standing water where mosquitoes could lay eggs.
She recommended that at least once per week, carefully emptying and scrubbing all containers that hold water. She noted other measures persons can take to prevent the breeding of mosquitoes.
So tires, you need to actually get rid of your tires. Buckets, planters, toys, be mindful and take care of your pools, bird baths, flower pots, and trash containers. Use screens on your windows and doors. Make sure they are repaired. And you can use the regular insect sprays to control the mosquitoes. Use an indoor insect fogger or indoor insect spray to kill mosquitoes.
Superintendent of Police Cromwell Henry reminded the general public that the COVID-19 safety protocols were implemented in St. Kitts and Nevis to keep them safe from the spread of the virus and encourage them to adhere to the guidelines that are still in place.
All COVID-19 protocols to prevent the spread of the disease are still in effect. The wearing of masks in public, social and physical distancing, hand sanitization and good sanitizing behavior are still the only means to effectively combat this disease and to prevent its spread.
He noted that enforcing the protocols is extremely important, especially as St. Kitts and Nevis prepares to reopen its borders.
It is necessary and very important that we continue to remind and enforce these restrictions as we prepare for the reopening of our borders. While it may not seem necessary now, given our COVID-19 status, to adhere to the protocols, these are the things, things will significantly change once the borders are open.
Superintendent Henry said that everyone will have to adjust to the new normal as life as we know it has changed. And that's it for this edition of SKNIS Week in Review. Join us again next week.